There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
It is indeed the Thursday brunch. It's the culinary highlight of your listening week, we like to think, and it's certainly mine when I dig out my stretchiest clothes. I've been known to wear pregnancy leggings for this show, and I've got absolutely no shame when we invite some of the region's best foodies to bring in food for us to try, and we touch on the latest foodie news. So cafes, restaurants, chefs from around the region, and it's all about food, glorious food, plus your chance to be treated to a dinner out and about with family and friends. This afternoon, we're joined by one of Dubai's best loved and most awarded chefs, whose resume reads like a must-visit list of restaurants in Dubai. From Le Petit Maison to Le Cerf, the Lighthouse to his own brasserie in Beershvay, Chef Izu Ani always brings fine flavours and a fresh twist on the classics, usually served with his famous bread. And we'll be trying out some dishes from his new eatery, Karine, at Emirates Golf Club later in the show. Hello, Chef.
Hello.
You're looking very fly this afternoon. Loving the hat.
Thank you. I always try.
Good, good. Even for radio, I love it. Also really excited to have to hear Shah in the studio. This is a man whose contact book knows no bounds. He literally knows everybody. So he advises on foodie startups. He consults big brands and is famed for his Filling the Blues Ramadan initiative, feeding labourers throughout the month of Ramadan. So do stay tuned for hopefully news of that over the coming month. Good afternoon, Sahir.
Good afternoon already.
We're just in the afternoon. Okay. It's 12:06. And Orit, always an absolute pleasure, founder of Boon Coffee, who comes from generations of coffee experts and roasters, and she's here in the studio, always welcome, because she's brought some coffee too. What have you brought with you this afternoon, Orit?
I actually brought in cold brew, and we'll try some French press.
Excellent, thank you, much needed on a Thursday. Now tell me, guys, Orit, it's the last farmer's market of the season tomorrow. Is that going to be your big kind of foodie focus this weekend?
Yes, most definitely. It's bittersweet times. It's nice to be able to sleep in Fridays now.
Because what time would you normally get up on a Friday morning?
We're there by 7 o'clock. So, wow. But however, you know, I made a lot of friends. So it's usually my socializing time. So it's really nice.
You go along and get the foodie gossip and then you bring it back here.
Exactly.
So if anyone wanting to go along and visit the farmer's market tomorrow, where do they need to be and when?
So in Business Bay, it's behind Taj Hotel, and starts about 8 to 1. I think it's a little extended until 2 o'clock, but it should be the last one. So it should be a lot of fun. Everybody
should get there a bit early to get all the pick of the produce as well. Yeah, yes, exactly.
And before the heat kicks in.
And it still remains one of the best sandwiches I've ever had in my life, that halloumi paratha from the cheese shop. Just epic.
That's from Carla's cheese lady.
Yes. Tahir, have you been anywhere interesting on the foodie front over the last few weeks since we've seen you?
Nepal.
Yeah. Okay, that's going big.
That was random. So it was my birthday recently. I was there in Nepal for a long weekend, and I wish there was more of access to their food that they eat there. I mean, momos, everyone knows. But you can imagine, it's very inspired. There's Tibetan food there. There's Nawari, which is like a very indigenous kind of people over there.
Yeah, it's actually a friend of mine here. Her husband's Nepalese, and they've just opened up a Nawari cafe in Kathmandu.
No way.
Yeah,
okay, that's cool. Told me
roots. I know.
I'm the food founder.
Oh, I just saw on Facebook you were there, and then you were already left by the time I saw it. So what did you eat? What was the best thing you ate in Nepal?
Oh, I mean, there was so much good stuff, but I think they do this like it was the Nawari food I had. They do this like pulled, I don't know how they do it. They braise it, or they have their own spices, and it's a pulled chicken, and they serve it with this. It's like a cold potato salad, but super spicy.
That sounds great.
And it's amazing. Yeah.
Yum. So yeah. Okay. I was about to say I went to this new cafe called Tanya's Tea House, and you're like, I went to Kathmandu. Blowing us all out of the water. Chef, where have you been recently? Or you've been tied to the kitchen with Karine?
Yes, I have been tied a bit, but I recently was in France, in Paris.
Fantastic. What was going on there?
Basically, I mean, I'm one of these people that love to discover different things, even where I've been before, because when you go back to somewhere you've been before, you have a different look as well. You discover things that you never saw before because you were probably
rushing
around.
Yeah, I guess if you're doing things, if you're in a different restaurant, you're coming to it with different eyes and a different perspective every time.
Exactly. But also, I mean, Paris is one of these places that inspires you. I mean, there's so many creative kind of elements and new chefs coming up with new stuff. I mean, all of it are great. Some of it is like not to do.
Oh, I'd like to hear that. What do you regret about Paris?
I was with a few two other people. We went to this restaurant which was full of hype. I mean, it was like a queue getting into that place. I won't name names because it wasn't the best experience I've ever had in my life.
I need to know the name now.
I'll whisper it in your ears. No, it's one of these things because you always go to a restaurant and you get a lot of hype. So you have a high expectation. You think, okay. And a lot of times people go there and the expectation don't meet the hype. But because it's such a hype, you kind of feel obligated to think the same as everybody.
Yeah, that herd mentality.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, it doesn't work with me. Sorry. I like what I like. And I'm one of these people that food is very subjective. It's a personal thing. You have to be true to yourself. You can't just follow other people's whatever they're expressing and just say it. As soon as we got in there, eventually after waiting on a little line, we sat down. I'm just looking around going, why is it so popular? I looked at the curtain. The curtain was dirty. I'm sorry. I'm still tormented by that.
Was it red?
No, it was. I think the initial color was green at the beginning. I don't know. It just turned into something different. Anyway, and then we ordered. I mean, I'm one of these people. I order so much. I mean, we want to try different things. So we ordered a few pizza. I mean, the base culture, the concept was like Italian, and they was like banging on about how they sourced everything locally from Italy, but they're in Paris. Okay. So all these, like, I get it. People love to connect with the farm to table and all that. That's a great gimmick, but sometimes people take it too far. And then there was this spinach was from, I don't know if it was from their farm or something like that, but it was disgusting. I'm sorry.
So, slammed by Chef Izu.
No, I'm sorry. You can't give me a load of waffle.
But you know what? It's interesting about the hype thing, isn't it? Because sometimes you do want to go along and feel like you've kind of been to the place that everyone's been to and you order the dish that everyone's Instagramming. And sometimes just having that experience, it's just not worth it. Social media's got a lot to answer for in terms of hype.
I agree. Because honestly, a lot of people now, they focus on, they use this word Instagrammable. I'm one of these people. I hate that. Anyway, you create food to be Instagrammable. What is that?
But people do, Chef. They do.
I'm sorry. I can't agree with that.
I'm not saying it's right, but people do it. I've got friends who have their own business here in food, and they've had people coming in and saying, not even looking at the menu, just holding up their phone and saying, I want to eat this, because they've seen it on, you know, an influencer's.
Yeah, but I'm one of these traditional, I grew up in a traditional way of respecting food and respecting the clients that eat it. I think both of them are connected. I can't just look at food and just look at how it's going to look and not how it's going to feel in the body. I don't believe in diet. I believe in a lifestyle. You can't just, a diet is a momentary thing. You have to remember to do it. But lifestyle is something that you are, who is an expression of who you, what you think. So you eat well, you exercise, you do everything. And for my part as a chef, I have to hold a certain social responsibility to what I do. I can't just do it because it looks good. I have to also say it's going to be good for the person. I'm one of these people that I'm very against just mixed in things and you don't recognize what you're eating. For me, healthy food is knowing what you're eating, seeing what you're eating. A tomato is a tomato. Why should I, as a chef, try to make tomato to be something it isn't? I'll say hello to the tomato and say, tomato, how are you? Where you been? And we get to know each other. It's a partnership. I mean, it's not an ownership. Chefs should always remember food is a partnership. From the ingredients to the chef, to the client, it's all connected. If I do not introduce myself to the tomato, we cannot present ourselves to the guest.
Chef, introducing yourself to a tomato.
Of course.
Love
Be
it.
Humble. That's what it's all about.
Can I ask you what you had for breakfast this morning, Chef?
Actually, I have about two breakfasts. I wake up normally about 4:30, go cycling. Then I have a protein shake, banana. I always have a date, 3 dates in the morning when I cycle. I always have a coffee. I'm sorry. It's one of my
never
my
apologize.
Perks.
Boom coffee. Get actually, that in there, Orit.
No, actually, Orit is one of my, honestly, she's a dear friend. And And I'm one of these people. I'm a fan of a product. I just don't let go. I'm
loyal.
Yes. It's not about being loyal. It's just what it is. Yeah. A product is good, and you just love it for what it is. It's honesty. And I've been with Ora to the farms and knowing how everything is basically harvested. And there's a romance about it. And food is romantic.
I'm lucky that way. So I get to eat good food all the time at his house.
He's cooked for you at home, all right?
Yes, cooked for me at home, at my house. He's a great chef. He's a great person.
Look at
here
the
we
loving.
Go, the flowers going on here.
Yay! Tahir's like a massive third wheel in the studio.
Don't worry, we'll get you in there. Don't worry, brother.
You'll get in the nook. He'll have you over for dinner later on, I'm sure. All right, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
What did I have? Two toast bread. I have two toast bread every morning with a coffee. And on my bread, I have tahina and honey.
That's what Balki's honey?
Yes, where is Riyad?
He's always listening.
I have to mention this. If I don't, I'm in the doghouse. Also, my wife always makes me a fresh juice of apple, carrot, and pear every morning without fail.
That sounds delicious.
And she buys all the fruits from the vegetable market as well. Yes. So. I gotta give her a shout out because if I don't,
wait till you get you home.
No more apple, carrot, pear.
Exactly.
No, the key would have changed.
Tahir, are you a big breakfast fella?
Yeah, big breakfast. Not this morning, but I normally like to have an omelette in the morning. I'm a big fan of omelettes, especially I'm always like big about Pakistani food. So I always try to go beyond the myth. It's not always like greasy or spicy. Like we make omelets, which are like there's one called Kagina, which is like a country omelet. It's more like a scrambled omelet. It's eggs, potato, tomatoes, coriander. It's a really good breakfast, actually.
You could cook yourself.
I'm all right.
Yeah, all right. I'm all right.
Not bad.
Keeping it humble.
So. No chef Izu, but
maybe he'll give you a little lesson. You never know your luck. Now, do stay with us. If you want to have your say on the Thursday brunch show this afternoon, we've got some tastings coming up. We've got a competition just for you. It is always a pleasure to have Orit here, the founder of Boone Coffee, in the studio, and her much-needed cold brew. It's just a bonus. Thank you, Orit. And also joining us to hear Shah, foodiefounder.ae, a startup and foodie consultant whose knowledge knows no bounds, really, and he also likes coming in for a bit of a feed, so he likes to guess.
I know, it's Thursday.
Just like to look after you a little bit.
Thank you.
And Chef Izu Ani is here. The award-winning chef has opened and operated amazing restaurants all over Dubai, and his latest Kareen at Emirates Golf Club is dedicated to his wife, serving up some of her favourite dishes from freshly baked breads inspired by the bakery she used to work in, to our own homemade plum and apple jam. Was your wife a bit embarrassed by having this restaurant named after her, Chef?
Not really. She had a big smile on her face.
It's very romantic.
Yeah, but I did it for a reason as well, to build up some credit. So
brownie points in the bag.
Nah, but this beautiful woman that I've been with for so long, we don't hardly get to spend much time together. And I have to be very humble in saying that without her support and her kind of strength behind what I do, I mean, I wouldn't have the same kind of durability or kind of like strong-minded to do what I do, because I don't get to see my kids most of the time, and she takes all the headache from their growing two boys with a lot of energy. She takes on her stride, and she's basically a taxi driver. She's a home. She does everything. And it's good for me to also recognize her in my world. To show how it's so important that to realize that how everything is connected. And I use that a lot, because you can't disconnect everything in life. So, and also, it's also a big part in my life when I met her, in the sense that...
How did you meet her? I love a meeting story.
Actually, we met... I was working as a private chef in the north of France was the owner of Club Med.
Oh, wow.
And I used to basically create dishes every single day. There was a little market on the side. So when I used to go to get... It wasn't like a menu made. I used to make it on the market. So I see the ingredients, the vegetables, the fish, yeah, whatever. But I always used to get bread because I love bread. So there was a bakery just next door. So I always used to go to the same bakery. I was introduced by the wife of the husband that said, this is one of the best bakeries. So I went there and I thought the bread was fantastic as well. And also the way the people serving it.
And something caught your eye.
Yeah, she was one of the people who was serving me every single day.
Oh,
yeah.
So she was in the boulangerie and you were a regular customer.
Yeah, it was like a little wink and she didn't wink back for a while.
But you persisted.
Of course, I was there every day.
This mad guy was eating a lot of bread, so you had to keep on going there.
I mean, I had to make some French toast. You know what I mean? So
that's very sweet. You know, that's just crying out to be made into a film.
But you know what? I need to say that again. Yeah, but the first year we just stared at each other. It was only the second year that he invited me back to cook for him again. It was in the summertime. It was my birthday. I just said, okay, how about have a drink tonight? And she looked at me weirdly. She's much younger than I am. She's 7 years younger. So she was very shy. So she kind of said yes. And then
you speak French. She's French.
Yeah, she's
you speak French.
Yeah,
I just heard you on the phone speaking French, which was I always find it fascinating to see people who you converse with in one language and then you hear them speaking fluently in another. It always blows my mind. Speak a little French.
Mais non. Non, mais franchement, no, the thing was that it was one of these things that when you go to France and you understand the culture behind the food becomes more real. It becomes like you understand it. And that's why I always say food is an interpretation of a culture. It's speaking to you through the food. And that's why I went to France, not just to learn the language, but also to learn the culture, which I was like growing up in the food industry. So, and also my wife, as being French, helped me with that cultural understanding. But the French are they're very passionate people. I mean, there is a fine line between arrogance and knowledge and confidence. The French, they skim that line very, very carefully.
I'm glad you said that and not me, sir.
Myself and my wife, we have a lot of jokes. Even my kids, they take a mickey of my wife's accent when she speaks English. Especially the young one, he goes, what turn, October? Be careful.
That's charming, though. But you're lucky in terms of cuisine that, you know, you've opened this restaurant as a tribute to her, that there are such amazing dishes to choose from, you know, her heritage and her culture. What's your kind of favorite dish on the menu at Kouin?
I mean, yeah, I always believe hospitality starts with the first approach. And when you get to Kouin, one of the first things we want people to experience is the honesty of what we do. So we kind of, and also it goes with the story that we wanted to tell behind Kouin. Kouin, the reason why I chose the name is also because of my love for bread. And of course, she was the first, that's where I met her. And these things are the staples of a French culture. So when you get there, the first thing is presented to you is basically bread. And I have an olive oil grove, which I have in Greece. I bought a few lands, which I partner with a colleague of mine, which is a friend. And he's one of the potential best chefs around. We're going to do a Greek concept together. So
I heard it here first. In Dubai?
In Dubai, yes. Fantastic. It's going to open in September, so in DIFC.
I was about to say, any clues to where? In DIFC. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. It's going to be a very interesting concept as well, but also talking through the culture of the Greek. And I lived a little bit in Greece as well. So these are the kind of the places that I pick up all ideas. So you're presented with the olive oil, and then we'll give you a little bit of balsamic mixed in. And then we asked you to cut the lemons from Italy, Menton. And you squeeze a bit in there. You dip the bread into it. And you've made a dish in front of you, but using simple ingredients that understand each other. I mean, the olive oil brings creaminess. The balsamic brings a sweet and a bit of acidity. And then the lemon brings the fruitiness and acidity. And then all these things, all these ingredients play a part. And when I said to you about saying hello to the tomato, introduce it, it's a figurative in the sense of, basically, do you know where the tomato comes from? Do you know how it grew up? Do you know what? When I ask people what is a tomato, most people say it's a vegetable, and it isn't. It's a fruit. Actually, it's a berry, and then it's a fruit. And all these understanding helps you to use the ingredient and to combine it with other things. So all these things speak to each other. The olive oil, the creaminess, it brings all that flavors together. I always use fat. One of my chefs used to say fat is basically a referee or an arbitrator. It brings all the elements together, but used in the right way, because it helps to stick all the flavors onto the tongue, which allows the brain to basically analyze it. If there's not enough fat, it doesn't give the brain enough time. If there's too much, it basically makes it a bit sickly. It closes all the senses. So it's all about understanding the ingredients you're using, and that's how you create dishes.
That respect.
Exactly. And also, recipes are only done by the people that understand it. And I'm one of these people that always have respect for everything, the people I work with. I mean, I always say, you should always say good morning to everybody. That's the first thing you do, from the steward. Without the guys that clean the plates and clean the glasses and clean the knives and fork, you will not have a dish to put on there. So I have a respect factor to them, not just treat them like, oh, they're just there to do something. No. And to the general manager, it's the same kind of respect. And I live by that. And so Corrine also emphasizes that it's about the simplicity of the ingredients and understanding of what we do coming together.
Can I give a crude analogy to that?
Yeah, go on. Yeah, of course.
It reminds me of when I used to watch my uncle cook. My uncle in Manchester, he cooks this amazing version of saag. Not saag in the traditional sense on menus, which is spinach, but it's mustard leaves. Mm. And it's slow cooked for hours and hours, and it tastes amazing, like fantastic. And I asked him, well, what do you do? What's the secret? And he goes, son, you got to talk to the food. And
exactly.
I didn't understand what
exactly.
he meant. And now I completely get
exactly.
it.
Exactly. No, it's true. You might think we're mad, but it is.
A little bit mad, isn't it? Yeah. In a good way.
It's like you see some chefs. I mean, I see some chefs. They create fantastic dishes, but you don't know what ingredients they are because they've transformed it. And it isn't what it is anymore. But then the taste doesn't have a realness to it.
We've got a great foodie panel this afternoon. Some of our favourite foodie friends are here. Tahir Shah joins us from foodiefounder.ae.
All right.
Founder of Boon Coffee is here with some very welcome cold press as well. And one of Dubai's best loved chefs, Chef Izu Ani, joins us, and we're trying some dishes from his restaurant Corrine later in the show. But we would also like to treat you to some dinner. In fact, a 700 dirham voucher to spend at Corrine restaurants just opened recently in Emirates Golf Club. But you're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to do this.
Guess the ingredient.
Tahir and Orit are keeper of the clues this afternoon. We've got six coming up. Orit, what's the first clue?
Okay, today's mystery ingredient is thought to have originated in the Kalahari Desert in Africa. The first recorded harvest of today's mystery ingredient took place nearly 5,000 years ago in Egypt and is depicted in Egyptian hieroglyphics.
How was opening Corrine in terms of stress levels, Chef? I mean, you're a bit of an old hand now opening restaurants.
I mean, I'm one of these people that you don't rely on what you've done. So you have to... It is nerve-wracking because it's not because you've done it before that you relax. I never like to be comfortable because whenever you're comfortable, that means you're not thinking, you're not looking ways to improve what you're doing. And if you rely on what you did, it's not fair to the customers that are basically the new potential customers.
Yeah, people seeking out a new experience.
Exactly.
You know, they know the quality that they have had from you in the past, but meaning perhaps seeking it in a different part of town,
exactly.
Different interpretations. I think we can squeeze in a bit of this.
The latest food news.
Some big news out of the UK in the last 24 hours. There's been a landmark ban on plastic, with over 40 of Britain's biggest supermarket food and drink brands pledging to eliminate throwaway plastic within 7 years. This is a world first. There's 42 household names set a deadline of 2025 to eliminate packaging that cannot be reused. So we're talking about things like those black ready-made meal trays, the pizza bases, food pouches, that kind of thing. Something obviously that is very, very positive. So I wondered, you foodies in the studio, how kind of virtuous are you on the plastic front, Tahir? Are you a kind of a bag for life man or a bit of a guilty user?
Well, Well, in between, I mean, as a restaurateur before with Morty Roti, like, you have a responsibility now to know or to contribute to that ecosystem. You don't have to always have your food sold or sent in black plastic trays anymore. Nowadays, it's a bit more sophisticated. You can get eco-friendly packaging. And then as a consumer, I can do much better. But there's there's some great campaigns going on. Like, there's the Last Straw.
Yeah, that's right.
Which really encourages people, you know, or even restaurants to take part and say, look, no, there really, really, literally is no need for such wastefulness of plastic.
And actually, Theresa May signaled a total ban on plastic cotton buds, straws, and drink stirrers to help protect the oceans. I'm a bit of a mixed bag on that. I always have. I try to have a bag for life in the back of the car. Sometimes I bring in shopping and I forget to put it back out. We had a listener message in the other day saying, if you've forgotten your bag for life, you can always wheel your shopping out in the trolley and then put it in the. I was like, just put it in the car. Have a bag in the car. You'd have something in the car. What about you, Chef? Are you pretty virtuous on that front?
Yes, I am, actually, because one of my favorite cities is Tokyo. And when I went there, it's amazing. They don't have bins outside.
What do you mean they don't have bins?
Exactly. That's what I love about it. It's a beautiful culture that respects the where they are. And as I said before, everything is connected. I mean, if we don't look after this planet that we live in, we're not going to have that privilege to be here. So we all have to start doing something, doing our bit. You can't just say, oh, this little bit is not going to do much. Change starts with you. It doesn't start with him. It starts with you. And then from there, that's what I love about Tokyo. You don't have bins, so you you're conscious of
what you're carrying it around.
Exactly, you're carrying it. So it's made you. It becomes a lifestyle. That's what I love about it. It's not like a momentary thing where it's a campaign. Okay, now everyone's. It was in the news, now it's forgotten. You have to live that. Like the other day when I finished cycling, my kids, they drink these apple kind of drinks, and it's got a straw in it, but. I just after finishing hiking and just opening it, I just realized something. These straws, there's a little plastic film that covers the straws as well. Mm-hmm. Where does all this go? And this is where. And I just said, that's it. I'm going to stop buying these kind of drinks because at the end of the day, I'm encouraging it by buying it.
And also, you're normalizing it for your kids as well.
Exactly.
You want them to be educated.
Exactly. And so I believe that all of us have to do a bit, whatever bit it is. We have to be conscious of how we're hurting our planet, and we don't see where the end result. I saw a documentary. The other day, Theresa May, for me, she knows a lot of things that goes on, because in England they have the recycling plastic bags, but they give like subsidies to those who recycle. But a lot of people, what they do, they collect all the recyclable bags, but they ship it to Hong Kong or ship it somewhere else, and they get full subsidies. But those who recycle in England get half the subsidy because they're not recycling all of it, apparently. Mm-hmm. So people saw the loophole by, ship it out of the country, it's not our problem anymore.
It's really interesting, actually. I'm pretty sure it's Sweden have now become so efficient at recycling and actually reusing, burning up their waste products that they have to bring in waste products from other countries because they've used all of theirs already. So it is very much being done. All right, you've got your cold pressing glass bottles there.
Yes, we actually do money back. So if you don't use the glass, you bring it back, we refill it. So it's a nice way. Even with the restaurants, they give us back and we give them money for the bottles. But I am all for banning straws. I never actually liked straws, and I never knew, because I grew up in Ethiopia. We didn't even have straws. When I went to America and I saw straws, I thought they were just odd. So for me, banning straws would gladly. And I tried in the coffee shop with the cold drinks, but it's really hard because people think you're being cheap when you say, oh, I don't have straws. So we're trying to see if we could substitute the paper straws. Mm-hmm. But they have a little bit aftertaste. So we're trying to figure out how to do that. But it's really hard because simple thing as a straw, you really don't need it. You don't need to be... Mm-hmm.
But it's habit, though. It's habit for servers as well. And it's an education from comes from the top, hopefully.
Yes.
All right, you've brought in a food story as well. I did ask you off air if you were a vegetarian, and you said...
I'm kind of pescatarian. I don't know.
I think you said
pescatarian. Exactly what you said.
Something like that.
What was in the news that caught your eye this week?
Well, you know, France banning food that's not animal-based from being used as like vegan burger or soy milk. So anything that's not animal-based, not using the proper terms, like you have to say not milk and not steak, like, you know, vegetarian steak or vegetarian vegan bacon and stuff like that.
It's really hard one to get your head around. So they're basically saying that any food product that's not meat-based, you can't use words like sausages, steak, milk.
Yes.
But then what words are you supposed to use instead?
Yeah, but wait a minute, doesn't it make sense? I mean, how do you say vegan beef burgers? Or I don't know, I just don't get that, where you put
you
ham.
You say beef burgers.
I think they do.
I think steak. You say steak, like cauliflower steak.
Yeah, they do. They yeah. still use the meat terminology to attach it to something which has nothing to do with it. Mm. Okay, vegan burgers. I mean, at the end of the day, we all know that...
it's not going to have meat in it, right?
Yeah, but it shouldn't do. But nowadays, you eat things that you don't know what's inside.
Well, that's true. An article that came out in The Guardian in response to this saying, I want to eat a veggie sausage, not a micro-proteinous food tube. Food tube, that's rank. But it's interesting in terms of making sure that consumers are educated about what is in their food. So food producers are no longer to use the word like steak and sausage. And they're going to failure to comply will lead to fines of the €300,000, which is 1.3 million dirhams. Ouch. So this is things. So basically needs to be marketed as dairy alternatives. Are you confused by things like that in the supermarket, or not really?
No, no. But I don't like vegan bacon either. I don't see the point of it. So maybe some people think vegan bacon is really bacon. So I don't know. Maybe it is confusing.
They need to have a word with themselves if that's the case. And Chef, you brought in a food story. You want to make us smile this afternoon.
Yeah, because I was reading this article saying how, I mean, I think we all know this, but to hear it from someone who's published it, that food does change the way we are, which is true.
Make it in terms of mentally happier or unhappier.
Exactly.
Rather than
making it helps with the brain function as well, because you're more awake. Whatever food you eat, it is true, you are what you eat. Yeah, I mean, whatever you put in your body, you're going to basically express that in some way or another. And me personally, when I eat bad food, I'm not very happy. And
what would you classify as bad food? Do you mean like poor quality food or kind of junk food, guilty pleasure stuff?
Both. I mean, junk food doesn't have to be unhealthy. That's the thing. We all have to separate everything. I mean, and sugar's been branded out being the big enemy. At the end, it depends how it's processed. I mean, good sugars are good. Dates have got natural sugar, and that's very good. So for me, good food is what's tasty, and you know what it is, and you know what is going to give you something. It's going to have an output, and not just sit there and not give you any contribution.
Or give you a rush and then leave you feeling rubbish afterwards.
Exactly. We all have that. Especially when we eat certain branded of food where we know there's like MSG or something. When I was in Hong Kong not too long ago, after eating certain places, my mouth was so watery and I was like feeling quite ill, actually, in the sense that I was wanting to eat more, but I wasn't hungry. And that is the effect of eating MSG, because it heightens the palate or the senses and everything. It wants you to have more without you needing more. So that's also another way that for me is cheating the customer.
So what makes you happy? What food makes you happy?
Actually, very simple, actually. Just eating it with the right people as well. That also makes me happy.
It's just the cheesecake. It's just cheesecake.
That's coming up later.
That's right. So basically, you cannot wipe the smile off my face this afternoon, because Chef Izu is bringing in his cheesecake, not just for four people, he's bringing it for 12 people. And
yay!
And Chef's cheesecake was my wedding cake. When I got married, we didn't have a wedding cake, we got his cheesecake. So
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, well, so if I don't bring a slice home for my husband, I am going to be in massive trouble.
But we have pimped up this cheesecake.
This
now went up a little notch.
Stay tuned. When we come back, we might get a bit of food out of Chef Izu, and we've got more food news plus the next mystery ingredient clue. Stay with us. I'm Helen Farmer. We're joined by amazing foodie guests. for news and views and tastings and even a giveaway for you this afternoon. Chef Izu Ani is here, award-winning chef whose new restaurant, Kareen, is now open at Emirates Golf Club. We've got Tahir Shah, foodiefounder.ae, startup and food consultant, and always a pleasure to have Orit, the founder of Boon Coffee, in the studio. Thanks, guys. Now, we've had lots of guesses for our mystery ingredient, but I think we could probably help them along a little bit, Tahir.
Let's give them a little
guess
nudge.
The ingredient.
Okay. Go on, clue number two.
All right, clue number two. The ancient Greek name for today's mystery ingredient comes from the word pepon, which is also associated with pumpkins. Mark Twain described today's mystery ingredient as the chief of the world's luxuries. When one has tasted it, one knows what the angels eat.
Ooh, that's a good clue, that one. Food news. There's a lot going on at the minute. And one that caught my eye, because it scared me a little bit, is the headline, "This tiny tooth sensor could keep track of the food you eat." So it's tiny, it's about 2 millimeter by 2 millimeter, a little square that fits on the front of your front tooth. And I think, you know, if you go see a nutritionist or go see a dietitian, or you've got medical concerns, people are often asked to keep a food diary, which, you know, I think most people probably would do that for a couple of days, or they might use, you know, a tracker app, and then that stops. What they're trying to do is help people avoid mindless eating, but also this is going to be tracking glucose, salt, and alcohol. And in the future, doctors are hoping that this kind of tracker would help people track all sorts of different things. And it's mainly useful for those of people such as diabetics who need to monitor their sugar intake, but it can be broadcast then to their doctors, which would be the scary bit for me, because you can lie on a food diary, she says, speaking from vast amounts of experience. And it can also potentially detect physiological states, like changes in saliva that would signal developing gum disease, or even chemical markers of fatigue, so seeing if you're too tired to drive. Tahir, you're looking a bit sceptical at this, my friend.
I was trying to figure out, wrap my head around that. That's like...
it's like the future now, isn't
like
it?
It's like a snitch in your mouth, kind of thing.
It is.
A good snitch, maybe.
Depending, it depends on your own kind of, maybe willpower is the wrong word, but if you need a bit of a medical helping hand.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is kind of machines and people coming together, and I'm not really ready for that yet in the world.
I mean, soon he'll be talking, say, "You shouldn't have that donut. Yeah. That donut wasn't allowed."
Or he'll be like, "Sir, do not get it."
Why can't I open my mouth?
All right, would you ever be tempted to have a kind of a food? No.
No, definitely not. I don't even want to remember what I eat, so let alone.
If it was good, you remember.
Yeah.
I saw a great meme the other day, and it just said, "My bank statement is basically a list of the food I ate over the last month." So true, isn't it? So an interesting one, but I feel I'm not ready for that. Loads of guesses coming in on our mystery ingredient this afternoon. Quite a few people getting it right. 4001 with your guess and your name, or message us using the Dubai Eye app. Your guess and your name to win a 700 dirham voucher to spend at Kareen Restaurant, where Chef Izu himself may be dishing up some amazing European dishes. Now, Tahir, you're big into food awareness around waste. Mm-hmm. And one of the big concerns or big causes of food waste is people throwing away food that is, quote unquote, past its sell-by date. Here, we're going to do a bit of myth-busting here, guys. I personally feel like it's more of a suggestion than a hard and fast rule. What do you think?
Yeah, exactly. I think people, or like from a supplier's point of view, it's like legal. You're covering yourself, right? You're like, yeah, put this sell-by date so no one gets in trouble. But I think there's also that, you know, commonplace awareness that it's not really on that date that suddenly it implodes.
At what time? It's like it's noon and we must not eat it after noon. So basically a new article study has come out saying use by and best by dates merely indicate freshness. And these are the dates that manufacturer deems a product which has reached its peak quality or best flavour. And they're often placed on without much regulation at all. Whereas a sell by date is intended for retailers in terms of keeping that kind of stock moving in the store. One of the tips is you don't need to throw out bruised produce. I think that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Am I just being a bit dim here?
Yeah. Do you know what? I tend to a certain extent, agree with the date because it's a guideline. But if now you have no knowledge or understanding of food or how it's kept or how the bacteria are growing, you could, I mean, and if you don't abide by a certain guideline, you could be harming yourself.
Tell me about meat, for instance, because if I see a meat kind of change colour, I get a bit nervy about that. When should we start getting, what would be the signs to look for in something
thing,
like meat?
Everything is all dependent on how the meat is kept, the temperature or the air circulation, because when we age meat, we age it in a compound which has good bacteria. But if there's bad bacteria in that, that will spoil the meat. And that's what people don't understand. You have to create the good bacteria to carry on. It multiplies. So when you see hairy meat with all the furs and everything on it.
Oh, my goodness.
Actually, it that's how penicillin was discovered. I mean, it's mold. But it doesn't mean it's bad. It's just that, but you have to have an understanding. If you don't have an understanding, yeah, it scares
you. Yeah, of course, it's that education. Same with cheese. You can cut a bit of bruised, you know, fruit off an apple.
But cheese needs to have that bacteria, because that's the thing. You can't stick a date on cheese, because it's a living organism, that carrot. It's like you sticking a date on you and I. Okay, okay, that's it, enough.
She's past her best. That was a long time ago. Or you are looking dubious that...
He lost me at the hairy meat. I'm not into... Well, as I said, I'm pescatarian.
And
so
maybe
fish has a lot of... it expires pretty fast. But even with milk with my kids, you know, they open the fridge and they see the date. I don't care what I say. They're like, no, mommy, this has expired. And I'm always trying to argue, but it doesn't work.
Milk's one of those things that I'm a bit funny about, so I can smell it. If it smells a bit, exactly. I'm like,
And sometimes you have the date on the milk, which is still perfectly fine, the date, but it has gone off.
Yes.
Because it's been
poorly stored or transported.
So it's also an educational kind of, that's what we should be doing with from my perspective, is educating the people that don't know as much as I do. And I'm one of these persons that says, what I know, I want to share. So it's like my wife also, when she sees the dates on the yogurt, she puts, no, I'll eat it, because it's still perfectly fine. Okay, for her, she doesn't want to give it to the kids. But it's also, she needs to give it to the kids for them to build up their immune system. It's not always protecting them.
Mm-hmm.
Because your body, I don't take any tablets anymore. I'm taking for even antibiotics, because I want my body to fight what it needs to fight by building resistance, by eating well, by exercising. All these things are lifestyle, and I think that's what we forget. We just rely.
It's easy to throw medication at everything.
Exactly.
Do stay with us. When we come back, we are going to be talking about a new McDonald's that opened in Chicago that's a little bit different, and we're tucking in to some dishes from Korean restaurant, plus another mystery clue just for you.
Guess the ingredient.
We're joined this afternoon by Chef Izu, and we want to treat you to dinner at his restaurant, Kareen, which has just opened at Emirates Golf Club. 700 dirham voucher to spend. And Orit from Boon Coffee, keeper of the clues this afternoon. What's clue number three?
So China has been cultivating today's mystery ingredient since the 10th century and is the world's largest producer of today's mystery ingredients. Today's mystery ingredient needs a long growing season of at least 80 days and warm ground for the seeding of germinated and grow.
If you know what it is, we've had lots of guesses. Now, we are very lucky to have Chef Izu here, and if you can hear some clattering around the background, it's because he's plating up our first dish. This is the man who says hello to tomatoes, and I think we're going to be saying hello to some watermelon and feta, I think. He'll be joining us on the mic to explain exactly what we're going to be eating. But he's a man on a mission. You should see him. He's flying around the studio, not in chef's whites, but he's a man in black. Tahir Shah, also here, the man from foodiefounder.ae, fantastic food consultant startup, the man who's been through it all and knows everybody. You've come out fighting, though, Tahir.
Come out bloodied nose and everything. Still here, standing.
No, but you have. You started Moti Roti. Mm. You started it as a delivery. You opened JLT. Mm. Lots of lessons learned. What was your biggest takeaway from the Moti Roti experience?
In fact... alluding to somewhat the conversation we have about talking to the food, like the product is so important. And as an entrepreneur, it's so easy when you're a one-man show, you're so easily lost. You want to have to do the marketing and the hiring and the accounting and the operations. Sometimes you forget. It's so easy in the early stage to forget about the product. And, you know, I fell victim to that a few times. I don't know, Ori, you can relate to that, but you have to be so on it, on your product.
100%. Yeah. It is true. When you start your own business, you know, from, as we said earlier, from delivering the goods to, you know, making it, make sure it's good. Everything, it takes a lot of effort, time, and sometimes you do get distracted because other things come in continuously. It never stops.
And as you say, when it's your own business and it's your baby, there's always something to do. It's whether it's, you know, pitching for work or, you know, chasing money, doing the social media side, the marketing side, the hiring, the firing. It's everything. It's all encompassing.
Normally it's being told what you're not allowed to do and then you figuring out, right, how do I dodge
this.
That
yeah even my social media I started much later because I didn't even know about Instagram. So when somebody said, do you have Instagram, I was like, oh my goodness, what is that? So you know, you can't keep up with everything, and there are bound to be some things you lose in the middle.
And if you were to do it again, to hear what would be your kind of big
do you move? Know what's interesting?
You're going to do something. We've got an announcement for
us. No, sorry. I know. I gave that tone. But
you did.
Do you know what's interesting is after Mochiroti closed, I got an email from a product that's been innovated, an automatic roti making machine called Rotimatic.
I've seen it on Instagram.
Yeah. They're like, hi, would you be interested in purchasing? I'm like, I just closed my roti restaurant. You're a little bit late.
Have some sensitivity.
Yeah, please.
Please. Would you use a machine like that?
I'd be most definitely intrigued. Definitely. But had I been approached at the time I had the restaurant, for sure my chef would have been shaking at the knees.
Yeah, I know. The robots replacing the people.
Exactly.
What kind of gadgets do you have at home on the food front? Are you a big gadget guy? Or
no, not really. Just old school knife chopping board. Not much else.
What about you, Art, on the coffee front? What do you have at home that other people might not have?
Well, no, I just have different types of coffee, and I actually roast my coffee at home a lot.
Whoa,
so,
nice.
You know, being Ethiopian, when you have guests, you do roast your coffee. But, you know, you kind of, when you're working a lot, you kind of become kind of lazy. So I bring in the French press if it's by myself, and just press it fast.
You know, in other people's terms, the French press isn't that lazy. The real lazy is the machine or like the jar, you know.
That's when you know with the real coffee connoisseur when they say, nah, the French press, when I was feeling a bit lazy.
What a slacker you are. It's disgraceful. But first I want to tell you guys about a new McDonald's that's opening. And I know this perhaps wouldn't sound like breaking news, but it's being described as cutting edge. It's opened, I think it opened just yesterday, actually, in Chicago. And they're saying, what separates this kind of this new Mickey D's? It's got mega high tech in it. It's got a modern design, loads of things like cell phone charging. It's got automatic kind of kiosk machine, talking about robots replacing the people. And they're going to be showcasing some of McDonald's dishes from around the world. So some of the dishes they're going to be having, things like cheese fries from Australia, the spicy McChicken sandwich from Hong Kong, and Brazil's McFlurry Prestigio. This is vanilla soft serve with strawberry sauce and chocolate covered coconut bites. And they're going to be bringing in dishes from around the world on a rotating basis. I just hope the Macarabia gets its time in the spotlight over there.
Yeah, they're all. It's interesting to go to one place and find all those various cultural origin foods, but I doubt very much that anyone there has talked to the food, as to say. but one good thing about something like McDonald's is you can see that innovation in technology. It's for me really intriguing to see something like a pay by yourself kiosk, self-service kiosk, or,
and also doing things on the solar energy front as well.
Right.
So it's going to be LEED certified. It's going to have on-site solar panels to collect energy. It's also going to have things like low oil fryers and energy efficient AC units. So it sounds like things are happening in Chicago. It's also going to be massive. It's 19,000 square feet.
Oh my goodness.
It's huge. And it also can have table service where employees will carry out food to customers. So I might be intrigued to give it a try. I'm not sure it's enough reason to travel to Chicago, but if I happen to find myself there, maybe I'd pop in for, I don't know, the Brazil McStigio. Now, tell me, Chef Uzo, you've joined us at the table. You've been a very, very busy man over there. What do we have in front of us, starting with the watermelon?
Yes, watermelon. When I was in Greece, it was like a staple. I mean, every morning, watermelon and feta and basil. That's it.
For breakfast.
Watermelon and basil.
Wow. It's lovely. Yum. It's nice and refreshing. But the watermelon has to be nice and ice cold. So what we've done, we've sliced it in a nice pavé. We've mixed the watermelon.
Sorry, no, you can't just skip over that. In a nice pave. What's a pave, chef?
Basically,
it's a rectangle.
Exactly, a slab. I'm trying to be very eloquent in my. we sliced it in a nice rectangle, and then we've just marinated it. We first put the salt to bring out some juice from the watermelon, and then we add a little dressing with orange, and then we want to keep the freshness, and then we also have feta with a mix of a bit of confit garlic and some confit oranges in there. So it's just
real sweetened and acidic, and the creaminess
exactly, and the saltiness from the feta will give the also the different flavor profile as well.
Tahir's got a full mouth. Are you ready? Yeah. Ready to give your verdict?
Chef, you've definitely been speaking to these guys.
Yeah. This morning we came to a nice conclusion to do something nice. So yeah.
All right, I'm gonna have a bite. So I'm gonna get your opinion now.
Yes, most definitely, because my watermelons never taste this good. Okay.
Have you spoken to your watermelons?
No, but I'm gonna start speaking to them. Just which language should I try? But this is really good, because it's not one dimensional. When you taste it, every bite is so different from the previous bite you took. The salt, the feta. I think
that garlic is really delicate, actually. Yes. When you said garlic, I was thinking, well, that's going to completely
ruin it.
Yeah, or just completely overwhelm the delicate flavor of a watermelon, but it doesn't. It really makes it feel a bit more mature. It makes it a bit more grown up, I suppose.
Yeah, because I mean, it is a very staple diet of the Greece, but at the end of the day, we had to elevate it a little bit by adding other flavors to complement.
Tell me about the feta, chef, because it's, has it been marinated in something, or what's the?
No, it's just been mixed with a little bit of the basic dressing, and that's it. Because we still want all elements to bring together something, but not to overshadow or to mix. We still want to taste the feta, still want to taste a little bit of the sweetness of the dressing, still want to taste the garlic. Everything had to be a balance. One of my chefs always said, make sure that nothing infuses. It's basically layered. You layer each flavor among each other.
That's so exactly right.
Yeah, it is exactly.
That's the perfect description of this dish, because it's so well balanced. Nothing's leaping out and you thinking that's the main dish, but there's a bit of this here. It all works so well together, doesn't it?
Yes, very well. And you know, it looks simple, Chef Izu's dishes, and you think I can do this at home. You go home and it tastes nothing similar. but I like the simplicity, the way it looks. It really is nice.
I mean, I also have to always give credit to those who work with me, because without them, because a young chef, which I have, is Greek. He's very, experimental, but we work both together and balance each other out. He gives me his ideas, I'll give him my ideas, and that develops something else. And that's where, for me, when you work as a partnership in everything you do, you earn more, you learn more. It's not that
you're stagnant anymore.
Exactly.
What nationalities do you have in the kitchen then? How do you describe your background?
I mean, I grew up in London, but the heritage of Nigeria, I was born there. And then lived quite a few years in France, and moved around Europe. Lived a bit in Greece, and a little bit in Spain. So I'm one of these persons, I love to absorb different cultures and add layer it to my life, so I can have. I had a chef that always said to me, Izu, to have a library of taste, you have to taste. And simple as that, to have a library of any library.
Those reference points,
exactly,
right? To draw on.
So this is what made me keep traveling, to keep focusing on learning every day, never just rely on what you did yesterday. So yeah, I always say, when I'm awake, I'm always uncomfortable. You have to be.
Oh, that makes me feel sad for you. This is absolutely delicious. When we come back, we're going to be trying out the next dish, which is what, chef? You've got a salad, but maybe, are you eating?
Yep.
I'm not even sorry. Go on, tell us.
It's a salad of green beans, apple, grapes, a little bit of leaves, and toasted walnuts.
Sounds fantastic. Tahir's already tucking in.
Walnuts are outrageous.
Walnuts are outrageous. You heard it here. Stay with us. It's me, Helen Farmer, and a very, very happy woman I am this afternoon, being treated to food by Chef Izu Ani, who is joining us with dishes from Korean restaurants just opened in Emirates Golf Club. And oh my days, It's delicious. We've just been trying the watermelon feta salad. Chef, seriously. I'll even forgive the parfait comment. It's absolutely insane. What's so nice is it felt like a real kind of springtime menu, just so fresh. And that's a starter, right?
Mm, yeah. I mean, we're in a region where we have a lot of sun. And I'm one of these believers that you eat with your eyes. I mean, if you see a cold weather, you want to eat something warm.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Or you're in the Alps, you want to eat something heavy like a chucrut or even a raclette. But you don't want to eat that here because it's so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And so here, you want to eat something light. You got sun. You want to see a tomato. You want to see a watermelon, like you're in an island in Greece. So the food that we cook is very, I mean, some of them have got more of a stronger flavor, but always remain light. And one thing I always say, each ingredient has to be represented, not just squashed. It's not, you recognize
everything's singing on that
exactly.
plate.
You can see the segments of the oranges. You can see the you can see even the garlic, the slices of garlic which you confit, the feta, and then the watermelon, and then the basil. Everything is there. There's no hidden secret ingredient that is not represented.
Well, we do actually have a mystery ingredient this afternoon. If you would like to win a 700 dirham voucher to spend at Karine Restaurant, but you're going to have to guess it, I'm afraid.
Guess the ingredient.
We have got clue number 4 from Tahir Shah joining us for the foodie brunch this afternoon. Go for it, Tahir.
All right, so clue number 4. There are few smells that conjure up the pleasures of a hot summer day than today's mystery ingredient. The aroma of today's mystery ingredient has been extensively researched as it is a flavour that is notoriously hard to produce artificially, and a number of studies have tried to pin down the exact molecules that contribute to its aroma and taste.
Can you guess it? Now, what can we expect when we walk through the door of Karine? How does it feel? What's the decor like, Chef?
I mean, you'll expect smiley people. That's the first thing, because a lot of restaurants... I mean, as I said, I was in France two weekends ago, and as soon as you go to a restaurant, they just look at you. I mean, they don't even say hello. They just grunt.
What do you want?
Exactly. No, they don't even say that. I mean, they just grunt. And make an order. And I said, wait a minute, I'm here to enjoy a meal. Be
happy. Spend some money with
exactly.
you, my friend.
Yeah. I mean, so that's the first thing. I'm one of these believers that an ambiance or an atmosphere is created by the people on top. I like to smile. I know it's a simple thing to say, but I love to smile. And every day I wake up in the morning, I want to smile. Why shouldn't I? Even take the negative and put a smile to it and then change it. This is what I try to say to everybody. When they come into my restaurant, it's a happy place. You want to be happy. You don't want to be miserable. I never know anybody that wants to go to a restaurant to be miserable.
No.
So, and then, yeah, you get snippets of the culture. I mean, yeah, the old French kind of brasserie, bistrot, the light wood, a little bit of curtain, a bit of warmth, and then you got a beautiful terrace. And to be honest, the terrace is what made me choose that location. I always like to go to locations that inspire me, that gives me a reason to be there. I mean, D3 with Lighthouse. I mean, when we signed up there, everyone said, why are you doing that? Nobody knows it. And you say design district, people say, you need to take a passport to get there. I mean, because Dubai is very, it's like a micro kind of areas that you live there and and you don't go anywhere else. You wouldn't know. So, but that's why I want to draw people to different areas. And for me, the Emirates Golf Club, people think, oh yes, it's a members club, it's going to be quite dreary and all that. And I said, no. There's a lot of, villas and people that live
of
around
course,
that area.
Of course, you've got Roseleaf Cafe there, and you know people go there to work out.
Exactly.
So kind of busting that myth as well. But as you say, it's not just for members; it's very inclusive. Anyone can come along and
exactly,
dine at Karine.
Exactly.
But for us, because for me, I live in the Springs area. It's perfect because when you have to go out for dinner, it's so close. You don't have to necessarily drive to the other side of town. It's a beautiful setting and lots of lights.
Are you the woman behind convincing Chef Izu to move to your part of town?
Yeah, it's so close
I like
now.
To think so, but I've been going there so much because it really is a fantastic location, and the food is amazing, and the view, it's green.
It is beautiful. Yeah. So I know, it's a real treat, isn't
we
it?
We used to run truckers out of there.
You did, of course.
It's a good venue. It's a great place on the weekend for people to chill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, We've got dish number two in front of us now, chef. To hear, I'm looking at a very empty plate. You've already had yours.
Had mine, yeah.
Long gone. So this is a salad, and is this served as a main? Is it a starter, a side, chef? What is it, and how is it served?
It's a starter. It's very fruity. Yes, it is very fruity. You got the grapes in there. You got the apples in there, and you got the toasted walnuts,
which Tahir said earlier were outrageous. And I was like, yeah, chase them. They are outrageous. Uh-huh. How do you make walnuts that are? Because there's this real sweet there. You've got a real crunch on them. Mm. How do you do that?
Simple. Say hello.
Oh, back to this.
Exactly. No, but you got to understand what is walnut. It has a lot of fat content. So to be able to add other things to it, you need to be delicate as well, so it doesn't overwhelm or squash that. So the fat brings out the flavor, and I love that. And it just, we toast it lightly, very lightly, where you got the crunch, you got a little bit of sweetness. I just love it. I love the element. But also, when I create a dish, you have to have different textures. Mm-hmm. This is the crunchy. Yeah. This is what gives the crunch.
And you've got the crunch of the apples, when you've also got crunch of the.
But
green
it's a different
bean.
Crunch.
It's a different kind of crunch.
Exactly. Mm. So it's a different textures that work together. They're not trying to fight for the main podium.
And you've got softness of the foie gras in there as well. Softness of the grape. I'm guessing it must have been made and served really quickly to stop that apple colouring. So you're really.
No, not really.
Are you doing some little lemon juice?
No. Apples are, I mean, we haven't done anything to it. We just basically look after it. Yes, they do.
So the theme for today's show, I love it.
Exactly. Everyone needs looking after, I mean. So, no, but the apples, I mean, because if you add lemon juice to it, you can do. It adds another element of acidity, which is not against the dish itself. But also, I wanted to keep the apple clean. I want the apple to be flavor of the apple. So, yeah, you slice it. Everything is done a la minute, actually, in the restaurant. So this is why it's fresh.
I always feel like you and French beans have a bit of a love affair.
Yes.
Like all of your restaurants that I've been to, there's always like a star French bean dish.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I don't call it.
No, you don't.
No, it's not. I mean, not all the beans come from France. And that's why, because the ones I used to use at La Serre, we used to get it from Australia. There used to be
really?
Fat ones.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Whereas at Le Petit Maison, it was the super
thin
one. Ones.
Exactly. So they all have different elements. I mean, it's different taste as well. And they're chunky. I love the ones that we used to get from Australia. They were so chunky and juicy and sweet. Oh, that made me
excited. Happy man.
Exactly.
But you do salads really, really well. Remember fennel salad used to have with apple in it at the Petit Maison as well. And I think people go, oh yeah, salad is going to be a bit of lettuce and I'm not be very inspired. But this is such a flavorful dish. It's not an afterthought. It's not a bit of token on the menu. It's beautiful elements that have come together.
Yes. I mean, just before I came on here, I was just talking with Malcolm. I was talking
business
with Malcolm.
Business breakfast Malcolm.
Yeah, before he left. And we were talking, what restaurant does every nationality, what kind of cuisine they go for? What is a safe go cuisine? There isn't such a safe cuisine, but you can offer a variety that attracts everybody. I mean, when I do vegetarian dishes, it's not a protein dish. Take away the protein, it's a vegetarian dish.
No.
It's designed to be what it is. It's designed to bring all the flavors. Like a lentil salad, it's a humble salad, but you add that interest, give it a little bit of acidity, give it a bit of sweetness, give it a crunch, give it a bit of brightness by the olive oil. Olive oil carries, as I said, it's the main referee for everything. It arbitrates, it brings all the flavors in. So if you're using the good quality products, your flavors will start to flow in.
We are joined by some passionate foodies in the studio this afternoon. Do stay with us. We've got another mystery ingredient clue. And Chef Easy is going to be serving up his famous cheesecake. Very excited indeed. Stay with us.
Guess the ingredient.
Right, it's our penultimate clue. Clue number five, Aurette, what's next?
Okay, today's mystery ingredient is about 92% water. It's also soaked with nutrients, and each juice bite has significant level of vitamin A, B6, and C, and antioxidant and amino acid.
If you know what it is, get in touch. Now, Chef, you've said that some of the dishes chosen on the Korean menu are chosen because of your wife's favourite dishes, which kind of got me thinking, if I was to open an eatery but based around my husband's favourite dishes, what would be on the menu? Not quite as sophisticated as yours. It was basically crisp sandwiches and oxtail ragu and mini magnums, basically. All right, what would your husband have on his kind of dream restaurant?
I think it would be all desserts. My husband wouldn't have any more main or starters. Desserts and juices. So we're just completely opposite.
Tahir, you know what's coming next.
Yeah, I know what's coming next.
Come on, chef.
Actually, I just remembered something now. So my partner's one of their favorite dishes is the French toast from Le Petit.
No way! There you go.
That's one of their favorite dishes ever.
That's why you need to make friends with chefs so he can cook it for you.
His friendship status is full. I feel it already.
Okay, but all right, here, I've got bad news for you. In the break, I was basically organizing arranged marriage between my two daughters and his two sons.
So there's a family relationship.
So we're going to be in family together and he can cook for me at family lunches.
He's great because even when he comes to the house and you're cooking, he gets in and he takes over. So he's like really...
How did you guys meet then?
We met... we don't have a story like Karin, but... we met at Lasserre. So when Lasserre was the first restaurant to take our coffee. So they almost opened the door for us.
Wow.
And every place he's been, he's supported us and brought us in. Mm. And it's been fantastic. It's like having a brother or...
She's my sister.
We're having a brother in town who's always looking after you. So it's been fantastic. And of course, Karin has, and he has a signature blends. So in each of his outlets, we match with his food. So
exactly. It's an easy relationship, actually. I mean, she offers me something of a great quality. If it was terrible, I would say I'll love you, but nah. But it's an easy.
That's the thing about Dubai foodies, that you all really do support each other, and I see it time and time again. Yeah.
It's not just about support, it's about making sure that everyone gets an opportunity to experience it, to enjoy it. Why should I keep it?
In terms of talking about suppliers?
But in terms of produce, because I mean, I go to a restaurant which the coffee is terrible. I'm sorry. Why do you want to offend your customers like that?
Do you take a stack of Orit's business cards and be like, hi guys, you might want to speak to my friend Orit?
No, but everyone can, I mean, you, I would say, okay, this lovely young lady I know that makes great coffee. She can make great blends for you. It's up to you. But it's about me speaking about a product that I want you to enjoy. If it's not good, you don't have to take it. And that's where I don't believe it's not about support. It's about sharing the knowledge. So Dubai residents gets to have a great product.
That's something I always think of you to hear as being a real supporter of startups and sharing that knowledge. And you know, you started this, I feel like you started this real kind of JLT foodie hub that's now just developing and going from strength to strength. Who was your kind of biggest cheerleader when you set up Moti Roti?
Interestingly, in the old days, it was the guys who started Wild Peter,
the two Emirati brothers.
Yeah, and one of them was kind of like a mentor to me at that time. And he's like, look, be careful. It's a harsh place to run a food business here. If you invest and get a restaurant, you know, start small, work your way up, take care of your product. And now they're coming back. I mean, they had closed down, and now, you know, this is a great example again of entrepreneurial partnership. Freedom Pizza, who they're a great staple or standard of small business, local business in Dubai. I'm big fan of Ian's.
You had your own pizza for a while.
He supports everyone, right? So he had Coco Yogurt.
What was your pizza called?
The Karachi Kid.
And what was on your pizza to hear?
It was Keema. So it was our Akima. It's like my mum's recipe. I went as a it was an excellent pizza, actually, if I must say so.
No, you can totally say The Karachi Kid pizza, brilliant. But now they've
taken on Wild Peter, saying, well, you know, partner with us and start Wild Peter again. So this is a great example of, you know, entrepreneurs and small businesses. I get your sentiment as well, Chef, where you say it's not just about support, it's about giving the residents what they want. But it's great when you integrate that local ecosystem into it, rather than it's so easy to befell or be in those trappings of what's commercial or what's hip outside, and there's so much talent here, right here. So much good talent.
Now, Chef, what's been, you obviously opened and operated numerous restaurants here that have won really impressive awards, as have you as an individual. What's been your kind of highlight career-wise so far?
I mean, the highlight is it's an ongoing thing. Is that that I said to somebody the other day that my ambition is to basically keep the message of good food going. It's not about me. It's about people enjoying, because I kind of want to be a part of a changing landscape. I'm here to. I live here. I live in Dubai, and
you're not going anywhere, are you?
No, but. I want to be a part of the society.
You know that you already are.
No, but the thing is, you've got to make a society grow, you have to have stakeholders. Everybody has to say, I'm a part of it. I'm going to bring something to the table, not just take away. I came here in Dubai like everybody do for a certain amount of time. But then I said, no, I'm going to stop living a life of transit or waiting to leave. No, because whenever you're living a life of transit, you put your life on hold and you stop discovering what you could become. So we bought our house here whenever the time is ready, or we might not even leave.
How long have you been here now?
8 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
My youngest was born here, and he's a big lover of here. So, and the oldest as well. So for us, it's a home. It's not just, people ask me, where's home? Here's a home. I don't need to dream of somewhere to be a home, man. If something happens, it happens. And I take life very, very simple, and I look at, I strip it down to the bare essentials. I wake up in the morning. My family's got good health. I've got good health. What else do I need? I don't like to think about the things I don't have. We forget the simple things we have, and I think that's where I want to always carry that message of simplicity on how you look at things, and beauty is in everything that you look at. So you just have to have the mindset just to open it up a little bit, not be quite closed in and have already objective views on things, and then allow yourself to discover, and things do happen for a reason.
All right, you're nodding along.
Yes, I mean, we have a very similar story in terms of when we came here. You know, of course, he was a chef and I was just starting the coffee business. But in terms of starting with not necessarily a lot of network at the beginning, but, you know, over time, we build our networks, and we've had each other or people in the industry helping us along the way. Especially for me, I was a stay-home mom, you know, when I started the coffee business. So I didn't know anybody. So when Izu and Lasser took the coffee, they literally opened the door for us. So we could say, you know, we serve coffee at Lasser, and that was the way we could enter to other places. So it's been fantastic to have this kind of small network.
As long as you know as well that he didn't do that for any reason other than you had an excellent product, right? You know, and that's why your success has continued to grow and grow, because yes, he opened that door, but it's your product that's continued to open
exactly.
doors.
Exactly. It's about consistency, because at the end of the day, I'm quite brutal in the way I look at things. I love Orit, but if she gives me a bad product, I will give her a call. Even yesterday.
She does. She calls on the
Yeah, because I'm also doing some work with Jumeirah, and yesterday I'm helping them to open up a new restaurant in Al Seif, and I'm going there quite regularly. And I tasted the coffee, and I said, Orit, it's terrible. And I will be honest, I won't shy away from it, because I want her
She's
to keep
making faces at you, shooting a gun behind the microphone.
No, but also it's also about training, about the people to handle the product. The raw product is good, but it's also about
the execution of it.
Yeah, execution, yes. and sharing that knowledge, how they handle it. So that's another part of our work. So you never win. You always have to keep training to be moving forward. So I'm one of these persons that you don't preserve. You grow your ability. You don't just try and keep what you have. So
I'm going to massively lower the tone now and ask you to tell me about the chicken that we've just had, because we've only got a minute. Can you tell us about the baby chicken that's on the menu at Korean? Because I need to talk about it.
Yeah, that I mean, it has a real connotation to the Asian side.
It's warm and spicy. It's a spicy little chicken.
It's basically we make a little marinade using Korean spice base. It's also reflecting my heritage, because African food has a bit of heat to it, and I love to have heat to my food. It disturbs the palate. It brings you back to the plate instead of having something monotonous, the same and always. So it's another strength I like to use in my food.
Absolutely delicious. So warming. I need to eat more. Now, when we come back, you are going to be serving up that famous cheesecake, and Chef Izu is also going to be sharing his foodie fantasy, plus your last clue for the mystery ingredient. Stay with us till 2 o'clock. Oh, we are absolutely spoilt for choice this afternoon in the studio. Chef Izu has brought in his famous cheesecake, which, as I said earlier, was my wedding cake. That's how much I love this cheesecake.
You must have been the envy.
Oh, man, we really were. I have to say, it was the best part of getting married. but that's how much I love it. And as you said, Chef, this has become your kind of signature at the restaurants that you open and develop here. But we need to squeeze in a mystery ingredient clue.
Guess the ingredient.
We want to treat you to a voucher worth 700 dirhams to spend at Korean restaurant Chef Izu's new restaurant that's opened at Emirates Golf Club. But you're going to have to guess the ingredient. And Tahir Shah is here. What's the final clue, Tahir?
Final clue. Here we go. Today's mystery ingredient pairs well in a salad combined with basil, tomatoes and tuna, with lemon and mint as part of summer sorbet, or with Chef Izu's feta cheese salad.
And I've got a final clue to add. If you head over to our Instagram, you can check out Instagram stories, and I used a little emoji that might just give it away. So head over to the Dubai Eye Instagram and you'll get just a secret clue as well. That's at Dubai Eye 1038. Now, 4001 to get your guesses in, by the way, or use the Dubai Eye app, your guess and your name. I can't get past the cheesecake, to be honest. I'm completely, completely distracted. Tahir, you've never had this cheesecake before.
I've never had it before. So everyone's saying, yeah, the cheesecake. All I heard for the last 2 hours, cheesecake, blah, 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 cheesecake, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, this cheesecake is going to be really good. And I was like, whoa, what?
Mm-hmm.
What?
What?
Everything. Every part of it, every segment of
it's
it.
It's so smooth.
It's
so
level up.
Silky.
Yeah, yeah.
So you do a different twist, pretty much. And
exactly.
Corinne, what's your twist on the cheesecake here?
I mean, Corinne, we've kind of kept it quite stable because I changed the topping because at La Petite Maison we leave it with just a creme fraiche,
yeah,
and a little bit of zest,
berries and things.
Yeah, and berries on the side. Here at La Serre we did a yuzu, an orange, and a little bit of passion fruit, and then at Lighthouse we give it with just a orange and passion fruit. And here we've just keeping it passion fruit with a little bit of tinge of orange.
And I think Tahir's asking for seconds already.
And then also we do a caramel version of it as well.
A caramel version?
Yes.
You are a bad, bad man. Oh my goodness. So this comes obviously as a slice, but for special friends such as myself and Orit, could we order a whole one?
I have, but it ruins every cake after this.
I agree.
This is the problem. You have this cheesecake, yeah, and every time you eat another cheesecake, you're like, what is this?
Not as good as Chef's. Yes. Not as good as Izu.
He needs to change the name to something else.
Now, I have to say, I'm pretty much in the middle of my food fantasy here with the best cheesecake in town, if not the earth. Yeah, I'm going that far. But we want to know your chef's
food fantasy.
Chef Izu Ani, what is your food fantasy?
I mean, when you was asking me about this food fantasy, you told me to make sure I keep it Catholic. So
keep it clean, sir.
No, I'm a very simple kind of person. I do love Asian food. One of my favorite food is Japanese. I just love the cleanness of it. It's all about the produce, and that's why I love Tokyo so much. I've been there a few times, and it's an inspiring place. I mean, it's also because they respect the ingredients, and I mean, over in Japan, they die of overwork, and that's a credit to the way the work ethics, because they're perfectionist. So I mean, if I had a choice, I mean, I want to eventually do a place here which is going to combine that. So
oh,
yeah,
really. If anyone is going to Tokyo over the kind of coming months, where should they go from a chef's point of view? A must visit restaurant.
Must visit. I mean, there's a place I like in Roppongi, which I really love. It's like a teriyaki, but it uses hay to cook to sear the tuna. It's just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I wanted to bring that concept here, and everyone just I showed everyone the video, and they got scared. They go, "You're gonna burn the place down."
We like you, but we don't trust you, chef.
Exactly. So, but one day I will bring that along, because that the tuna is seared, is so charred, but still remains ice cold inside, and flavor.
Wow.
And they put a bit of nori wrapped around. Oh, honestly, guys. Honestly, I'm just trying to find the words in a clean way now.
That sounds phenomenal. It's always an absolute pleasure to hear what you've got to say on the topic of food. All right, you've been quiet for a while because you've been eating that cheesecake. Are you okay?
This is definitely my food fantasy.
Boon coffee.
Boon coffee with the cheesecake, always.
To hear you've got a grin.
The coffee goes like perfectly with it.
Where's my coffee?
We'll get you a coffee, sir.
I'm so excited with my cheesecake.
Don't you worry. I just want to thank you all for coming in this afternoon. It has genuinely been an absolute pleasure to enjoy your conversation, chef, enjoy your food. But we need to reveal the mystery ingredient, I think, Tahir. Can you be the keeper? Oh, stop it. You do know.
Do I know?
It's not on the sheet, but you should have been able to guess it by now.
Is it?
It was in our feta salad.
I know. Is it the watermelon?
It's watermelon.
Oh my God, thank God. I look really stupid.
That was me
right
going,
now.
We're never calling you a foodie expert or having you back on the show ever again.
I was thinking, what is it that angels eat? And I'm remembering that clue.
Angels eat watermelon. Well. Linda, you are a winner of a 700 dirham voucher to spend at a Korean restaurant on Emirates Golf Club. And what should she be ordering? Name one dish, chef, that you think Linda should come along and eat.
Okay, I'm going to do something. I haven't really said anything to anybody. Whenever Linda comes, I'll give you my number. You tell me and I'll do the menu personally.
Amazing.
Can I be Linda?
Breaking news, I am Linda. Wow, that is incredible.
So I will cook. It's basically, you won't be able to make the menu. I'll make it for you.
Oh,
that's brilliant.
God, what?
I'm coming,
guys.
Linda. Please call me.
Yeah. I'll be your plus one, Linda. Amazing. Guys, Tahir Shah, thank you so
much. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure. Chef Izu.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for the cheesecake and the chat.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.